This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Oh, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, December 23rd, 2024. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app or by podcast or on social media. We appreciate you starting Christmas week right here. And I got a question for you. Does anybody else have a cooler Christmas sweater than mine, Snoopy, laying on top of the doghouse here? And I'm thankful to see that it's been noticed right away by Alicia writing in from Northeast Wisconsin. Yay, Christmas sweater! So there we go. I did not give the memo to Greg Bach. So
I'm wearing a really cool Christmas sweater, though.
It looks a lot like a Milwaukee Brewers t-shirt or a Milwaukee t-shirt. It's a beautiful Christmas sweater. Yeah.
It's a hoodie.
I'm sorry. It's a hoodie.
It's a short sleeve hoodie, baby.
It's a short sleeve hoodie Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
The best kind.
It's in honor of Pat Murphy, award winning coach.
That's right. Yes. So anyway, how was your weekend?
Oh my goodness. It was so fast. Like we did shows. We had wonderful shows at the Laughing Tap this weekend. Did stuff during the day. And then last night, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are now in town for Christmas, and my brother-in-law and I have a birthday about a week apart. So my mother-in-law took us out to dinner and went to a place called Movida in Milwaukee. And if you and Dr. Kreitlow are ever in Milwaukee, go there.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite places in the world. It's a lot of tapas, and then they have paella.
Like all that.
And we just gorged ourselves on tapas all night long, and it was nice. Fantastic. My mom was there. We had a really great time, so that was fun. Then, so by the time we got home, it's like, all right, ready for bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, these are the longest nights, the shortest days of the year. So yeah.
How about you?
What did we do? Well, we went to the cities. We saw my my mom's been she's in the South Metro there, and gave her presents, which include, I'd heard about these new AirPods that they're so good they could actually be hearing aids. You could like administer a hearing test and everything.
Yeah.
So we did that, and she loved it.
Great.
And look, AirPods are, don't get me wrong, AirPods are not cheap, but compared to the price they charge for hearing aids, you know, if this is better, then good for her. So, yeah, she really appreciated that. But she'll like this. She's just a little bit of a pack rat.
Okay.
And she said, oh, Patrick, by the way, I keep meaning to give you these gloves. I got these gloves that you'll like, these leather gloves. And they're nice. I just keep forgetting to give them to you. And she said, go upstairs. They're in this, you know, in the drawer in this thing in the guest room over there.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So I open it up and I see it's a brand new pair of gloves with the price tag is still on there. It's ripped so you can't see the price, but the price tag is on there. And I laugh and I go, Mom, how long have you had these to give to me? Because the price tag, the store on it, is Dayton's. And Dayton ceased to exist way more than a decade ago, I believe. It just reminds me of that scene in Christmas Vacation where Clark is going through he's in the attic.
Yeah.
He pulls out a present, Happy Mother's Day from like 5 years ago that he.
That's funny.
Which I think I actually did once. I think for Sherry's birthday, I actually had a card or something really nice. And I opened up the drawer in my desk like 6 months later. I'm like, oh, I actually did get her a gift that year. Oh, well.
I am a good husband.
Yes.
I bought it for you at Gimbel's.
Gimbel's. Sherry and I exchange gifts, and she knows how much I love my cast iron skillets. I've got like a 10 inch and a 12 inch, and so I wanted, you know, just a couple of smaller ones, and so I don't remember the. I think one's a 6 and one's a 4.
Yeah.
So little baby iron cast iron skillet for like you know
when you want to make an egg.
An egg, yes, it'll be right there. So awesome. That was very nice.
Nice.
Coming up on the program today, and then again tomorrow, because they're just quiet days. We're here today and tomorrow, Christmas Eve. And then there won't be a show on Wednesday. There'll be Christmas music throughout the course of the day and other holiday tunes. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll play back some of our favorite moments. We're going to talk about some of our favorite moments today and tomorrow as well. And then Mr. Bach here and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who will join us in just a little bit, they are going to fill in for me next week, Monday and Tuesday. There will be, again, a best of show on New Year's Day, and then I'll be back live with you on Thursday, January 2nd. So when Dr. Lyerly gets here at some point during the morning, we're going to talk about how after a long and often bitter election year, there's a lot of talk, there's even a lot of wishful thinking about coming together and bridging divides. And I'm not trying to be a wet blanket on the holiday season, but I just want to make sure that we point out there's a difference between kumbaya and capitulation. And the fact of the matter is there's never been a more important time for people who are concerned about the direction of this country to avoid walking away from civic engagement. Enjoy the holidays. There's no reason to turn, you know, a Christmas dinner into something highly contentious. There's a difference between dealing with your brother-in-law and deciding we're not going to talk politics when we get together at Christmas time versus, again, holding a new president accountable for his actions. And, you know, that's when we get into the reasons of why we're polarized, I think you'll see there's actually a good reason why that might be the case, you know, because things that we used to sweep under the rug, some of us ain't sweeping under the rug anymore. So I'm looking forward to that conversation with Dr. Lyerly. Selena Heller will be along as well. And we'll talk about special education funding for our public schools. I think you're going to hear a lot about that in the coming budget cycle. I think, again, in the name of bipartisanship, I guess, I think that that is one safe prediction to make, is that special education funding will be improved in the next state budget. But we'll talk to Selena more about that. She's also got a special clip of her daughter, Emery, who performed in some kind of a Christmas pageant or a Christmas show. So I think that's going to be just downright adorbs, as the kids say. Do the kids say that, Greg? Do the kids still say adorbs?
I'm just checking the internet here. Okay, yes, they do.
Okay.
Totes adorbs.
Totes adorbs is the technical term for that. Yes. Temperatures at the bus stop right now look like this. It's 30 in Chippewa Falls. Should I say the bus stop? Are there still kids going to school today and tomorrow?
Maybe I think they're off.
Oh, I hope so. Hayward, 28. Amory, 29. Wausau's at 29. La Crosse, 32. Wisconsin Rapids is 30 right now. Green Bay, 33. Madison, 33. Waukesha, 30. And at Radio Park in Racine, it is 34 degrees right now at 6:14. Again, you can sign up for the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Head to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you subscribe to our unabashedly Wisconsin news and stay on top of happenings and all kinds of Wisconsin features as well. As for the show here, you can reach us by phone or by text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tony tells me that, I checked in with Greg Bach when we're supposed to check in with resident young person Calvin, who is the board operator for Jane Matinere and Greg Bach show.
Not going to say that clarification doesn't hurt a bit, but okay, that's cool. Cool.
Yeah, Tony, whatever, you know, anytime you want to call Grandpa Old down there and we're seeing you, go right ahead. I did over the weekend also see the movie Wicked, which have you been yet?
I have not.
You have not. You're a busy person.
Yeah.
So Sherry had seen the play in New York, and I have a rough idea of what it's about, but I was very good not to look for spoilers or anything like that, because this is like the origin story of the Wicked Witch. And it was quite good, but I have to say, and Sherry fully agrees, having someone who had seen the play as well, the movie, there was so much hype. So much hype and so much said about all the work and the technical wizardry, pardon the pun, that went into it, that, you know, it's tough to live up to that kind of hype when you finally see it.
So you were just like, it's fine?
That's exactly what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, it's fine. You know, if I'm sure that all the people who really, really want to see it have gone by now. And I'm not going to give you any spoiler alerts. And I'm definitely not telling you not to go. I will say, though, and I knew this going in, but, you know, it's a 2+ hour movie. Mm-hmm. It's part one.
Yep.
And I don't know the release date on part two. But again, as you know, Sherry had seen it as a play. As a play, it's 3 hours long. It's quite long for a play. And she was like, you know, they could have squeezed this down a little bit. But if you don't do the sequel, you know, you can't get two kicks at the can.
Well, I mean, it's going to make so much money, even the second part. And what I heard is because the play with intermission is 2 hours and 45 minutes and the movie is 2 hours and 45 minutes. And what they said was because the play is based off of a book and the book is a 20-hour audiobook that I know because I have it on my phone. There's more book detail in the movies than there is in the play. That's why it's so long.
Okay.
But they started saying it was part one at first, and then they stopped. It is the same thing they've been doing with, I mean, you can't advertise Wicked as a musical, like try to get away with not advertising Wicked as a musical, but other movies they've been advertising as not musicals, even though they are. So it's weird how they did that. Like they just said, they stopped saying Wicked part one or like whatever, so... I'm going to see
like
it.
I said,
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not clamoring to see it. My friend has seen it 12 times.
Oh, wow. Good. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's proud of that.
Hey, look, you know, if you're a fan, you're a fan. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is going to join us in our next hour. There is definitely a good shot at freezing drizzle in parts of the state today. So we're just going to tell you ahead of time to drive with the utmost care wherever you are in the state, especially if you're traveling for the holidays. You're going to have more folks in the car. The car is going to be packed with presents, whatever the case may be. A lot of folks we noticed over the weekend. There was a lot of cases of, and again, we're getting up there in age ourselves. There are a lot of cases of grandma and grandpa were going out and getting last minute Christmas gifts and whatnot. So some of the not regular drivers are out there, if you know what I mean. So give them some extra room, especially given their own winter driving conditions. Tony writes in on YouTube, holy crap, I haven't seen anything 12 times. And then he adds, well, except Frozen.
Boom.
Which I know I'm going to see at least 12 times next weekend because our 2-year-old granddaughter is crazy about Frozen right now. Just sings Let It Go. Doesn't know any other words. Just sings Let It Go over and over again.
Awesome. I love it.
Yep.
So
12 times coming on that. Wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Just a quintessential early 80s light rock from Robbie Dupree, who has a birthday today in today's history lesson coming up in a half hour here on Up North News Radio. Hey, Packer football is back. Monday Night Football, the Packers are at Lambeau Field hosting the New Orleans Saints. Pre-game at 5 p.m. on stations on the Civic Media Network that include WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. So get yourself ready for some Packer football tonight. Let's see, the Milwaukee Bucks, they lost in Cleveland on Friday. They beat Washington at home on Saturday. Tonight, they're in Chicago to take on the Bulls. Badger men's basketball, they closed out non-conference play on Sunday with a win against Detroit Mercy. Their next game isn't until next week, Friday, January 3rd, at the Kohl Center versus Iowa. Badger women's basketball is off until Saturday at Indiana. Let's see, Marquette men's basketball, the 9th-ranked Marquette men beat Xavier on Saturday, 72-70. They next play New Year's Eve at Providence, and the Marquette women's basketball team is off till next Sunday at DePaul. Looking at some of the headlines, we are not talking about a government shutdown. A deal was struck at the literal last moment to prevent the shutdown of the government and all of the folks who work so hard at TSA and the military and everybody else. They're going to keep getting paid instead of having to go through, you know, more political games. Again, it took Democratic votes to get that done, as it has happened the whole time. Now, Republicans have been so focused on trying to pass through a far-right agenda, even though they don't have 60 votes over in the Senate. And so they resist bipartisanship for as long as humanly possible, and then they have to make things bipartisan to make things work. And then, of course, the farthest right Republicans get all in a huff and basically pose for holy pictures to say, "Well, I'm voting no on this because, I mean, this is just terrible." Yeah, well, what can we tell you? It's governing. It's not about ruling. That's how this is supposed to work. Interestingly enough, there was a congresswoman who was not there over the weekend. She hasn't been on Capitol Hill for 6 months. She is the representative for the 12th Congressional District in Texas, Representative Kay Granger. She has been the congresswoman for that district since 1997. She had already announced she wasn't running for another term, but folks finally noticed that it's been almost 6 months and nobody had seen her. There was nobody in her district office. Nobody on her staff could say where she was. She was found in a center for dementia. She was in a nursing home, in an assisted living facility that specializes in memory care, according to news reports from the area. And it was finally a local reporter who started looking into this, trying to figure out why they can't reach their congressional representative for reaction, why she's not showing up for big votes. She's been in a nursing home for all this time without her or anybody from her staff telling anybody about this, which, yeah, as Tony puts on YouTube, it took 6 months to realize she wasn't coming around. That just, again, tells you how of little consequence some members of Congress can be while others are, again, and getting in front of the TV cameras every chance that they get. But some of the backbenchers, I mean, they're getting the same, whatever it is, $140,000 paycheck and, you know, doing next to nothing. But, you know, Greg, if I'm remembering correctly, along with that salary comes some nice benefits.
It's $174,000 a year plus very nice health care. And I'm not saying anything other than the fact that I hope she's getting the help she can get. That's a shocking story in my heart, because my family has experience with dementia, and it's a good thing she has access to that health care. So,
yeah, good, I mean, on good her. For her, but we all should be that fortunate.
Yep.
So that story caught my eye as well as the fact that the New York Times talked about President-elect Trump's speech to a conservative group, a far right group, over the weekend. And again, it was Trump previews second term in sprawling speech to conservative conference. Trump repeated false claims about immigration and the border and discussed seizing the Panama Canal in the 90-minute address. I promise you, that if Joe Biden had given a speech talking about maybe seizing the Panama Canal, which we have no right to, we signed treaties, treaties have the force of law, it's over, it's done. If Joe Biden gave a quote-unquote sprawling address and constantly told untruths, I mean, you can barely find this Trump story on the New York Times website now. They've moved on to other things. But that's who's coming in. Somebody who has talked about invading Mexico, talking about Canada being a 51st state. Things you would not necessarily expect to hear from a president of the United States. But that's what we've got here. One more note to pass along from the Guardian reporting on Uline, the office and shipping supply company, the one run by billionaire Republican donors Dick and Liz Uline, or Eline. It turns out that again, they have donated millions upon millions of dollars to a party that is rooted in campaigning against undocumented migrant laborers. It turns out that they, the U-Lions, brought reportedly undocumented workers from Mexico to work at their warehouses in Wisconsin and elsewhere. They staffed their facilities, the Guardian reports, with Mexican workers using tourist visas and B-1 visas, the kind that are meant for employees entering the country temporarily to receive professional training. They're not allowed to do work for wages in the U.S. According to one Wisconsin-based immigration lawyer, Mark Christopher, if they're doing warehouse work, especially second or third shift, that's not a close call, he says. Absolutely, 100%, that's not allowed. And yet that appears to be exactly what the U-Lions were doing, even as their restoration pack ran ads attacking Kamala Harris for supposedly allowing an immigrant invasion. Sources added that Liz U-Line and other top executives were aware of the practice. Again, reporting out of The Guardian, and not a terribly big surprise. When we come back, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is scheduled to join us, and we will talk just a little bit about the year that's passed and the year coming ahead, and how kumbaya should not equal capitulation. We'll be back. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Early one morning the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red.
Let's check in on the adventures of Dr. Kristen Lyerly as we hear a little Bob Dylan. I think my favorite Bob Dylan tune.
And
when last we left Dr. Lyerly, she was aware that up in Robert Zimmerman's hometown there of Hibbing, Minnesota, there was going to be a special early showing of the Bob Dylan pick,
A Complete Unknown. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And, but, you know, her being, you know, a visiting physician there and, you know, working and everything else, she wasn't sure if she could get in. To which most of planet Earth said, she'll get in. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. Did you get in to see the movie?
I did. And it was so good.
And I sat next to Bob Dylan and he wrote a song about me. Yeah.
Not only did I get in, but it's a pre-release screening. So all the people who were there are people who are attached and they care about it. So the theater was full and I'm sitting in front so I can get out because I'm on call. So as I'm sitting there as the movie's about to start, these two guys walk in and they're like, oh, can we sit next to you? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And this fella started sharing his popcorn with me and we're just chatting. Turns out this guy is like a local Minnesota music legend. He's won 8 Minnesota Music Awards. He was performing at an event before this. He's written books about Bob Dylan. We had so much fun just chatting throughout the movie. He was like, he's probably, I don't know, 60 something. He was like a little kid watching the movie, which made it even better. And people, please go see this movie, especially if you have any sort of a love for music history, because it is such a great, really well done, beautifully acted movie.
I just have a feeling, like I said, Bob Dylan, I know of him. I like a couple songs. I know very little about his story, but I just had a feeling that his story done right in terms of a movie would be really good.
Yeah.
It is really good. And it's so, like, Edward Norton Jr. is fantastic. The acting is so good. The cinematography is so good. I really love a quality movie.
Edward Norton Jr.?
And this is a real quality movie. Yeah. He plays... Oh my gosh, Pete Seeger.
Oh, Ed Norton.
Ed Norton Jr.?
Yeah. Oh, I've never heard him referred to as Ed Norton Jr. before.
Oh, maybe you were thinking of Ed Begley Jr.
No, I know who Ed Begley Jr. is.
But no, I'm thinking maybe when she said the junior.
Oh.
Now we're just completely recasting the movie at this point.
Because my whole point was the story you just told, Dr. Lyerly, is that you were talking during the entire movie? Don't laugh.
I wasn't so much. He was. But he was like, you know those moments when you're so excited about something? I had this happen to me when I went to the Brewer documentary about the World Series.
Yeah, right.
And I was like so, it was like rapture. I was watching and I was so excited about it. And I just like couldn't help myself at times. He couldn't help himself. So I was just absorbing it.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. You know, just a day in the life of Dr. Lyerly, Tony writes on YouTube, which sounds about right. You have not gone to see Wicked though, right?
No, I like Sherry have seen it in the theater a couple times, like in as a theatrical
production.
But
right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I just wanted we were going to compare notes otherwise because I had seen it over the weekend. But we've got a few news issues to talk about. But first, I wanted to ask Christmas gift wise, and I posed this question before. If you get something like a package delivered to Amazon, and it looks like it's going to be a gift, or you know, should you go ahead and open it, or should you just wait till Christmas to see if it is something for you? I mean, it would be much easier if it was wrapped in like holiday paper, right?
I just open it.
I mean, you just open it no matter what.
If my name's on it, yeah, I do. Okay.
If your name's on it and you want to open it, I say you open it right now. Open it right this moment.
At this very moment.
Right this moment, if you'd like to, because.
Here's the Amazon box.
Yeah. So this is a real example.
But look, here we go.
Somebody sprung for the holiday wrapping.
That person
must. See, now put it under the tree.
Right. See, that's
Dr.
the Lyerly, thing.
You're ruining my plans.
You should open it directly right now.
I'm going to open it directly right now.
Yeah, you should open it directly.
It's a lovely green holiday bag. I'm undoing the ribbon. Take the ribbon from the bag. Okay, let's see. It feels like a. Getting out. Oh, it's wrapped again in tissue paper.
Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. I mean, really Amazon didn't know that was going to happen.
This is great. Well, it gives you that barrier. You know, like if you open the box, you've got a series of warning signs that it's a present.
All right, here we go. Oh, hey, it is What's Next? The backstage pass to the West Wing, the oral history, as told, written by Melissa Fitzgerald and Mary McCormick, introduction by Allison Janney.
And
thank you.
Yeah, it was. When you said you hadn't gotten it, or that you were, I was like, yep, I know I'm getting you.
Where did the? It's somewhere in here was a note.
Also, I apologize for telling you to shut up, Dr. Lyerly. That was very rude of me.
It was urgent. You had to get your point across.
And he did. And Greg included a very nice note as well. So thank you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. It wasn't your handwriting, but you know, it's okay.
Was computer handwriting.
It was computer handwriting and it was very sincere. Yeah. So wow, this is great. I only got you a coffee mug.
Yeah, but it's so truthful.
Again, woke up sexy as hell again. Yep.
Good show.
I like that he's sticking with that. I really do. Meanwhile, I've got the reindeer coffee mug. I realize that's like the only thing I can really put on the radio. All the other things are making, you know, drinking references or have naughty words in them. You know, like instead of on Dash or on Dancer, one's like on vodka, on bourbon, on, you know, whatever. No, one with reindeer. That's all I got. Kristen, are you getting excited for the holiday?
I'm super excited, and there's another movie I want to talk about.
Okay.
Kristen, is there a movie you want to talk about?
I stayed up last night until past midnight watching Emilia Perez.
Oh, I've heard big things about this film.
I've heard absolutely nothing about this film. Tell me more.
I've never seen anything like it. Everybody's buzzing about it. It's a French film it's mostly in Spanish with subtitles. It's a musical. And it is, do you want me to tell you like what the plot is?
You may as well, because I seriously have no idea what you're talking about. Not at all.
It's about a cartel, the leader of a cartel in Mexico who kidnaps a lawyer and tells her that he'll make her rich if she agrees to accept a mission. And acceptance means that like if she knows what it is, she accepts it. So she says, yes. And the mission is that he is a trans woman and he wants to transition and he needs her to help find the surgeon somewhere in the world where this cartel leader with gobs of money can go and transition. And then after she becomes Emilia Perez, she comes back to Mexico and reclaims her life and starts doing good things. It's fascinating. The music is so good and the plot is so wild. It's definitely another one of those that's really worth seeing. And it's on Netflix.
I think it has five Golden Globe nominations.
See, and I'm seeing Zoe Saldana's in it, Selena Gomez, Carlos Sofia Gasson, Edgar Ramirez. Here's the thing. Before Wicked came on, I feel like there were 22 previews for various movies. This was not one of them.
No.
There's a lot of previews nowadays.
Yeah.
And so this is a Netflix movie, and you really enjoyed it.
It's unlike anything I have ever seen, and it has a lot of social context, which I love. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, it's another one of those really beautifully done movies that is unique and creative and well worth seeing.
Wow. Okay. Let me ask you about a story that was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week. And I spent a little time talking about it on the show, but I really wanted to clear the decks for you here. The headline from it last Friday was, abortions in Wisconsin halved immediately after Roe was overturned, according to a new CDC report. The number of abortions provided in Wisconsin was cut in half the year Roe v. Wade was overturned. Again, the word to keep in mind here, provided in Wisconsin. The number of abortions provided in Wisconsin. It gets to the point, not till like the 8th, 9th, 10th paragraph, but why don't you make the point first and then we'll get to the numbers.
Well, the Dobbs decision happened in June, which was in the middle of the year, and that was when we stopped providing abortion care entirely in Wisconsin. So it's math, people. The number of abortions were divided by two because of that.
But here's the thing, and for people to go, oh my goodness, we cut abortion in half. That's great. We should have changed it. We should have gone all the way with a full ban. No. It's later in the story that you realize that in Wisconsin, the rough number of abortions is anywhere between 6,000 and 6,400 a year. And when all is said and done, the number of Wisconsin women who got abortions was about 6,000. And when you look from a national level, the total number of abortions barely changed.
Went up, actually.
What's that? Yeah, you're right. Went up slightly. And again, Kristen, why is that it was the same number of Wisconsin women roughly getting abortions and roughly the same number or a little more total abortions performed, even with the Dobbs decision? Why was that?
Well, Pat, I think it's because women left the state. I could be wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. Yes.
Later in the article, they talked about the number of women who went to Illinois and a handful also went to Minnesota. People had to leave the state, which means that they had to leave their families, the place where they feel comfortable. They had to spend more money, more time away from work. It was more burdensome. And this data does not capture the people who went online and ordered abortion medication online. So the bottom line here is you can make abortions illegal, but abortions are not ever, ever going away.
No. And if anything, along with the inconvenience, all you've done is put women's lives in danger and left some of them dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's documented. This is the legacy of the Dobbs decision is same number of abortions, roughly, give or take a little, and women dying. And again, we hear about the extreme cases, but I remember early on you mentioning cases where women were left, you know, bleeding and in waiting rooms or sent home. I mean, we'll never get that number of the number of there's no category for it, women who went through hell because of the Dobbs decision.
And not just women who were seeking abortion care, but women who were seeking miscarriage management or had complicated, heartbreaking pregnancies that they wanted that were not going to survive. And it just took away their options and made it so much harder for them to live their lives.
Yes, Greg.
Hasn't there been also some work from either Texas or other states to suppress reports and information on these? So we'll actually make it even harder to find out who has been affected by this?
Yeah, there sure has. Texas has been suppressing the release of their maternal mortality reports, which is every time a pregnant woman dies in the United States, in most states, we investigate those deaths to look for a cause. Because if there's a preventable cause, we want to make sure that we are changing the way that we practice and changing the way that we're managing these cases. Georgia disbanded their maternal mortality review team after those two women who died because they couldn't receive abortion care. Somebody leaked that information, so they just blew the whole thing up. This is not healthcare. This is not public health. This is not care. This is not even any sense of community or the desire to make sure that moms and babies are safe. This is just politics.
This is government control. It's just government control over women and their bodies. And again, when folks go, why do you always say abortion care rather than abortions? Because again, as Dr. Lyle said, you know, a lot of people think all these are just matters of convenience. I don't want to be pregnant anymore. No, abortion care gives you the whole range of what can go on with women and with pregnancies, and that this is a part of their health care. Whether you like that it's available or not, it's there and it's medically necessary, as I hope you never have to find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a short video that my soon-to-be former state assembly person posted where he was talking about reducing the age, the gestational age, at what and when you can receive an abortion, as if it were a budget negotiation. We got it down to 20 weeks and we can get it down to 12. And I'm thinking, buddy, you just do not get it. This is healthcare, not the budget.
And that's why folks might want to listen on Thursday and Friday for our, when we do some best of shows, because it includes Dr. Lyerly talking about the assembly floor debate, where we discussed how, you know, one of those assembly reps said, well, I'm a veterinarian, so I understand, you know, female mammalian development, you know, and other interesting observations that we note. So you'll hear that on Thursday, Friday. Kristen and Greg, by the way, fill in for me next Monday and Tuesday. And we have today's history lesson with all of them next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I love this start. Of course, this would be the Beatles from this day 60 years ago. Baby's good to me. I Feel Fine became the Beatles' seventh number one single.
This band was good. They were good.
This band was pretty good. Yeah, they did all right by themselves. Greg Bach is here, and Up North News reporter Selena Heller is here as well. Selena, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am good. Ready to start the week.
I was going to say, are you ready to start the week? I'm like, no, I'm so ready to be done with the week already. And I'm only 52 minutes into it. And I'm just like, okay, can I start my break now?
All right, I'll go along with that.
I mean, do you feel like you are fairly well prepared for the holidays?
Nope.
Or you, 6,000 things to do yet?
No, yes.
Yeah.
Still so many things.
I sat there with my peanut butter English muffin at 4:30, and I had this legal pad where I was just going, okay, I should only have a couple things to do. And as I got to like the 10th thing, I'm like, oh, this day is not going to go well at all. But we do what we got to do, you know.
Got a list.
That's right. So that was the Beatles on this day in 1964. Something else happened that day, 60 years ago today. There was a baby born. Edward Louis Severson III was born in Evanston, Illinois. You know him as Eddie Vedder. The surname Vedder comes from his mom's maiden name, so Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam is 60 years old today. It was on this day 70 years ago that the first successful kidney transplant was performed. I always like these medical highlights, if for no other reason than I get to say to Kristen and to my wife and others, isn't it great to be alive now when stuff like that isn't experimental anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You just look back and go, God bless them for everything that everybody went through to get us to this point.
I'd like to point out that the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics has led the nation in kidney transplants. So So
there's a commentary on drinking there.
There.
Yeah, not liver transplants.
That's liver. That's liver. Yeah.
I don't know anything. I'm a board op. I don't know anything about
drinking. And I believe you want to give proper credit to a friend of yours who is instrumental at the UW Hospital, Pat McBride.
Oh yes, but he's a preventive cardiologist. He's
no, but I mean just his leadership, you know, at that system.
Oh, for sure.
Robbie Dupree, the 70s light rock singer, is 78 years old today.
This guy,
very yachty, don't you think?
Well, this guy definitely sang a TV theme song or two. There's no way. All these songs.
Gotta be.
Such a yacht rock vibe.
Yep. And he's kind of got that Kenny Loggins look to him as well. And by the way, I wanted to isolate this just for Greg. They're the background singer on this.
Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald hits those really high notes. Born this same day in 1946 as Robbie Dupree, soap opera legend Susan Lucci is 78 years old today. Let's get back to the 70s here. The number one song this day in 1975 was by KC and the Sunshine Band.
Welcome to 70s Disco Night at the Roller Rink, yep. Folks. Remember, your parents can stay for the first hour.
On this day in 1972, the Immaculate Reception was caught by Franco Harris to win the Pittsburgh Steelers their first ever playoff victory, defeating the Oakland Raiders. And by the way, they don't have nearly the replays that we have nowadays. That ball hit the ground first, folks. Nobody in Pittsburgh will admit it, but that ball hit the ground first. A couple of other football-related notes in today's history lesson. The late Paul Hornung was born this day in 1935. The Golden Boy, former Packer. Another former Packer, the late Willie Wood, was born this day in 1936. On this day in 1989, the number one song was by Phil Collins.
God, I love Phil Collins.
I was not expecting that.
I was thinking about the other day. He, tremendous singer, songwriter, producer. His drumming is consistently overlooked. And when it's gonna be one of those things when he passes one day, that's when people are gonna be even more like, oh my God.
Well, I think because I hear this enough, so it must be true. But I mean, the knock on him is that for all of his skills, I mean, everybody can be a jerk, especially when they're really famous.
Yeah.
But that he had more jerk moments than most people do.
Huh.
And I've seen interview clips with him when he's like, yeah, I was a bit of a perfectionist. You know, it's the Martha Stewart thing that we talked about a month ago as well.
Yeah.
So folks, if you get really, really good at something, stay humble as best you can. I mean, like me.
How humble.
I made myself laugh on that one.
So humble. You're
the number one song this day in 2012 was by Bruno Mars. Locked Out of Heaven, number one, 12 years ago today.
Good song.
On the National Day calendar, this is National Roots Day, as in take some time learning your family ancestry. Oh. This is Christmas Movie Marathon Day, although I think technically it depends on your family, but Christmas Eve is for us where we always watch White Christmas and Muppet Christmas Carol and Elf.
Christmas Story.
That. Yep, Christmas. No, I don't like that one. And this is Festivus Day. I, not being a Seinfeld devotee, know very little about Festivus, but Greg says he's got a little history of it for me.
Here we go.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
So there you go. Festivus. Yeah. Happy Festivus, everybody. Selena Heller's daughter is going to serenade us Christmas pageant style.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.